Amen. Well, not too long ago, I was driving down Fifth Street. So we're in the area. I was driving down Fifth Street, and I was looking for a specific road that I was wanting to turn on to get to 4th Street. So I go straight down 4th Street. So as I'm driving, suddenly the turn I need to make is there, and so I slam my brakes. I almost pass it, and I make the turn. Looks like a crazy driver. As I did this, you know, I continued down the next road, and then I made my left on the 4th Street, so I'm headed in the same direction now. So as I turn out on the 4th Street, I see this cop car coming towards me kind of slowly, and I'm like, that's kind of weird. So I just drive by as normal. As I'm driving, I look in my rearview mirror. Sure enough, the cop was after me. Now what happened was, as I was driving down 5th Street, there was a cop up ahead doing radar. So I was speeding, all right? I was speeding. Okay, I'm not perfect. So I was speeding, and I didn't see him, but I made this abrupt turn. And so when he had pulled me over, he's like, why were you trying to get away from me? I was like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I just saw you. And he thought I was trying to get away from him. Sure enough, I got a speeding ticket, and I just reiterated to him, hey, like, I wouldn't ever try to get away from the cops. I know it's kind of pointless. You always get caught. Bad boys, what you gonna do? So I got caught, and I told him, I wouldn't do this. And he says to me, I believe you. If I didn't believe you, you'd be in the back of my car. Kind of a scary thing to hear from a cop. Like, I was that close to being arrested based on my word. So I go to court for this ticket, and I go to court, and they're like, okay, you're guilty. You have 30 days to pay this fine. 30-some-odd days or something like that. So I'm like, cool, I'll pay it later. Pay period, I'll pay it. I forgot to pay the ticket. I completely forgot about it, and so a few weeks later, I get this letter in the mail, and I'm like, oh, strange. So I open it up. It's like, here's your new court date. If you're not there, there's going to be a warrant for your arrest. I was terrified. I was scared that he thought I was getting away from him. I don't ever want to be arrested. That's terrifying. It's one of the most scary things ever to me. So I immediately ran down to the courthouse because at this point, I was the enemy of the government, the enemy of the law. I made myself an enemy by failing to do what I was supposed to. And so I immediately ran. I was just like, you know, when you get pulled over, there's that feeling of, I'm in big trouble. You know, like you're just terrified. So I had this feeling, so I immediately went to the courthouse to pay my fines. I paid them. I was scot-free. No more warrant for my arrest. I'm not going to jail. Relief, right? I had peace now. I was reconciled. And that's the word I want to focus in on tonight. Reconciled. And so I had made myself an enemy to the law, but I reconciled things. And in the same way, we're going to see how we need to be reconciled to God. We've made ourselves his enemies. And so this word reconciled, it means to compose or settle, to settle a dispute, an argument, a quarrel, to bring into an agreement or harmony. So when I got my ticket, I took care of that. I settled the argument, the quarrel. Me and the government were now in agreement that I shouldn't go to jail. But tonight we'll see the cause and effect of God's reconciliation. And we'll find out who wanted to do this reconciliation, whose idea it was. We'll see why it was needed, who it's available to, this reconciliation, and what the results are. And lastly, we'll see what our response should be to this reconciliation. But before we jump in and start reading Colossians, I want to catch you guys up on what's been happening in this chapter. So the Apostle Paul, he's writing this letter to the Colossians, this group of people. And he's writing them to kind of reestablish and reaffirm some truths that they already knew, but these truths were under fire, be on attack by this group called the Gnostics. Now, the Gnostics wanted to complicate the gospel of Christ. They didn't believe that it could be so simple that God would send his son to die on the cross for our sins. And so they wanted to overcomplicate it. And they went so far as to say that Jesus wasn't even God's son. And they went so far as to say that that God wasn't even involved in creation, that God didn't create the earth, but that it was created by some other being. And they're crazy, basically. They blew things up, and so that's what these Colossians were dealing with, these questions of, well, you know, God didn't create the earth. Well, how are the Colossians, when they hear that, it would cause doubt. And so Paul's writing them in this first chapter, reaffirming what they already know. And so he's just reinforcing these truths. But what he does in this leading up to where we'll be at in chapter 1, basically he establishes Jesus as God, and he establishes that God created the earth, and everything was created for him. So that's what the Apostle Paul establishes. Now, let's dig into our text and read, okay? Colossians 1, 19 through 23. For it pleased the Father that in him the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So, who wanted this reconciliation that we've been talking about? God wanted it. God wanted this reconciliation. It says in verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. But people often get the idea that God's super duper angry at us, super duper angry at us, and that he wants nothing to do with us, and he's just kind of bothered with us. And the only reason he's okay with us is because, Jesus said, hey, they're all right, they're okay people, they're swell folks. That's the wrong idea of God, but sometimes people get that perception of God, that he really is Jesus that loves us. God's just kind of like, all right, whatever. But the truth of the matter is that God hates sin. He doesn't hate us. He hates our sin. And our sin is what separates us from him. The fact of the whole matter is that God loves you, and he wants to reconcile you to himself. And he did that through Jesus. You guys know the verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but would have everlasting life. But we read verse 19. Let's look at verse 20. By him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. In verse 19, the Apostle Paul wrote that it pleased the Father that the fullness of God should dwell in Jesus. He's just establishing the fact, reiterating to these Colossians that, hey, Jesus is God, and it pleased God. It was God's idea to send Jesus to reconcile us to himself. It pleased the Father to reconcile all things to himself. He's in the business of reconciling us to himself. He wanted you. He wants us. He wants to have peace with us. He wanted you. He loves you. He desires you. He wants to have peace with you. And he went to the greatest extreme that there is to see that that happened, to see that you, his enemy, would have peace with him. And how did he do it? Through the cross. But in these verses, we kind of come across something interesting. We see that God wanted to reconcile all things, things in heaven and on earth. Now, some people kind of go crazy, and universalism will say that God's going to, everything, every person, even Satan and the angels will be reconciled to God. But that's not the case. And some go to extremes of saying things like that. But when we look at this, in the future, God wants to reconcile the earth, because it's his, and the heavenly places to himself. Why? Because they've been tainted. The fall tainted the earth. Satan has had access to the heavenly places. We know that from Ephesians 6, 22, 12, I'm sorry. And in the future, when the Lord returns, he's going to reconcile all these things to himself and make new. He wants to reconcile these creations. Now, as far as Satan and his crew, his posse, his gang, they won't be reconciled to God. Hell was created for them. And you know who else won't be reconciled? Those who don't place their faith in God. Those who don't embrace the cross of Christ. And that's kind of scary. But by not embracing the cross, you make yourself an enemy of God. You make yourself an enemy of God. It was Jesus' death on the cross that satisfied the wrath of God. You see, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, the wrath of God in its fullness was poured out on Jesus for all our sins. All his wrath towards all our sins was poured out on him. Yikes. When I think about how big of a sinner I am, like, that's a lot of wrath. Imagine all of us. But to answer the question, why was this reconciliation needed, we have to continue in the text, and Paul kind of points it out, and it's our past. You see, our past, we all have one, it's what separates us from God. The sin in our lives, our past is the reason we need reconciliation. We're sinners, and like I said before, that separates us. So the Apostle Paul sets out in this next verse to kind of remind the Colossians where they were and what God did for them. So let's read verse 21. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled. So this word, that's like Swiss or something. This verb, German, right? Or what is whatever language that is. This word, alienated. In the Greek, it translates separated, completely separated, cut off. And so it's true for the Colossians that they were separated, cut off. And it's also true for us. We were separated from God, cut off. It was their sin, and it's our sin that keeps us from having peace with God. He tells them that they were enemies in their mind. They were enemies in their mind, and they had this hostile attitude towards God. And that hostile attitude was represented by their wicked works. They were wicked people, messed up. Just like all of us were, maybe still are, wicked people. And so they had this hostile attitude toward God that was represented by their works. And the same truth stands today. If you're not a friend of God who makes it your ambition to live for God and serve God and love God, you make yourself an enemy of God. You make yourself an enemy of God. But the truth is that as an enemy of God, there's hope. And a lot of us in this room have experienced that hope. And that was Jesus' death on the cross, what we're going to remember tonight. It was his death on the cross that was able to reconcile the enemies, God and man. God's enemy. It was the death of Christ that would reconcile that relationship. We don't have to be his enemies. You don't have to be his enemy tonight. That can change tonight. But through the blood of Christ, we can become his friends. So what are the results of this reconciliation? The result is that he's going to present us his presentation. The result of Jesus' sacrifice was our reconciliation. And the result of us being reconciled to God is our presentation. He's going to present us. But what is he going to present us as, you might ask? Let's read verses 22 and 23 for that. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith that grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which he heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, this is incredible, because I know me, and I'm a sinner. I told you guys about my speeding ticket. I got a lead foot, all right? It's something I'm working on. trying to drive like a grandpa now so I don't get more tickets. We're all sinners, and it's crazy to think that God, through Christ, presents us, Jesus presents us to the Father as holy. That's crazy, without spot. He presents us blameless. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So God sees us as blameless, without fault, nothing wrong with us. Isn't that great to know? That God doesn't see you as, if you're in Christ, he doesn't see you as a screwed up person anymore. He sees you as holy and blameless. Because of Jesus, God sees us as clean, pure, holy, and blameless. It also says that we're above reproach. This means that no one can point the finger at us before God. Satan, he likes to accuse us. He likes to say, hey, God, Denver, he's a big mess up. But God sees us as above reproach through Christ. He sees us now here on earth. He sees us now as when we'll be in heaven glorified. It's the same. He sees us the same. But in verse 23, he kind of lays out some conditions. Paul kind of lays out some conditions of our faith, of these things, in order to present it as holy, blameless, and above reproach. Paul writes that we must continue in our faith and not drift from the gospel and leave it. Now, you could do a whole message and people could argue over this, but we're not going to do that. Rather than focusing on that and, well, you know, can people lose their faith? Rather than focusing on that, let's take it as a sobering thought for us believers to make sure we stay in the faith, to be in the Word, to be living for the Lord, to be pursuing Christ, to live the truth and preach the truth and proclaim the truth and practice it. So, after all these things, you know, we saw that he's the one who wanted to reconcile us. It pleased him. You know, we had a past that separated us from God. He's going to present us one day. Those who are in Christ, he's going to present us as holy, blameless, and above reproach. What should our response be? Well, our response is actually our privilege. It's something we should be privileged to do. And we have ministries here in Renovate that allow you to do this very thing. After understanding all those things that we just talked about, it's only appropriate that our response would be to tell others. It's our privilege. It's not just something we have to do. It's our privilege. And that's something you need to understand, that you get to preach Christ. And that's what Paul was saying, like, hey, I'm a minister of God. Let's look at verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So Paul, he's setting it up and saying, hey, the gospel is going to be preached to every person. And the whole Mediterranean area, Paul had preached in key cities that the gospel had begun to spread. And so he's kind of prophesying what's going to happen. The gospel is going to be preached to every person. But you know, as we've gone through Colossians and as I went through it, I just started noticing things. And if you look at it, there's a bunch of capital H's. Well, Denver, that's kind of weird. Well, those H's, those capital H's refer to God. And here's just a few of them to think about. In him, the fullness of God dwelt. He wanted to reconcile all things to himself. His cross, he reconciled his flesh. You know what that tells me? What that reminds me of? That I wasn't involved in my own salvation. That all I did was I chose him. I chose to place my faith in him. We didn't do anything. It wasn't my good works that reconciled me to God. It was Jesus. It's only Jesus that can reconcile us to God. And I want you to notice one other thing. There's only one I in this whole passage. This whole chunk of scripture that we read. And there's only one I, and the only time there's that I is when what I need to do. And that's proclaim the gospel. Proclaim that he reconciled us to God. that there's that reconciliation. Proclaim what he did. The truth is, this reconciliation is available to all men. And a lot of you guys know this. And just like my speeding ticket, you know, I was on edge until I reconciled things, until I made things right with the government. We were enemies. And I was on edge. I didn't have peace until I went and took care of things. And in the same way, there's some in this room who have never reconciled things with God. You're making yourself his enemy. And that can change tonight. And for a lot of you, you know, you've been reconciled. You know what Christ did. And this has just been a reminder as we take communion. Paul reminded the Colossians of where they were and what Jesus did for them. So tonight, I just want you guys to take a flashback to where you were and where Christ brought you. And know that he's going to present you holy, blameless, above reproach. That's cool, right? That's amazing. It's incredible. So if you want peace in your life, the only way to do it is through Christ. And here in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. But as we take communion, guys, I want you guys to remember that. That he reconciled you to himself. He desired you. He loves you. He wants you. And he's in pursuit of you. So let's pursue him. Amen?